When you're sick or know of someone who is, what should you do?
God exhorts us to pray for those who need to be healed. And there are times that I have prayed for people to be healed and God has healed them. Other times I prayed for people to be healed and they died. And they went home to be with Jesus and they were healed. Guys, ultimately, if you're a Christian today, we are going to be healed in heaven. No more sickness, no more sorrow. No, all the former things have passed away. All things have become new. One day we're going to be completely healed, completely whole. Sometimes God chooses to do that here. God can heal. We shouldn't doubt Him. We should ask. That should be our first response.
Perhaps you know of someone who has or has had the coronavirus. Others are going through another life-threatening disease that the doctors are baffled by. And maybe that's what you're encountering. It's at such times we should be quick to turn to the Lord in prayer with the confidence that God still heals today. Here on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Randall looks into the gifts of faith and healings as we continue through 1 Corinthians. We'll start off in chapter 12 at verse 9.
To another, it says, faith by the same Spirit. Now, the Bible does declare that God has given to every person a measure of faith. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not yet seen. At one point in his ministry, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. It was a prayer. Lord, increase our faith. They had heard him say to them on more than one occasion, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So they said, Lord, increase our faith. And you remember Jesus responded in Luke 17, and he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by its roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, Jesus was saying, just a little bit of faith can do a great amount if your faith is in the Lord. I'm so glad as I walk with the Lord, sometimes we think it's all about how great my faith is as opposed to the faithfulness of God. I've learned and still learning, it's so often more about his faithfulness than my great faith. Sometimes I have a mustard seed of faith, maybe half a mustard seed. But God is so faithful and our faith grows. And there are different kinds of faith revealed in the scriptures. First of all, there is saving faith. Saving faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. How do we receive saving faith? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. People hear through the preaching of God's word. They hear through God's people sharing with them, and they realize and they come to this understanding. The Bible says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saving faith, friends, is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and believing that when he died on the cross for your sins, that it has been applied to your life and you have received him, and the shed blood of Jesus and his sacrifice has been applied on your behalf and you have been redeemed. And by believing in what Jesus has done on your behalf, you will not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that. Saving faith. I pray that you have that today. Saving faith. But a second kind of faith is faith that trusts in the promises of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. In 2 Corinthians 1, 20, Paul said, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Trusting in God's promises means that we believe what God says and what he's promised in his word, that we build our life on it, that we trust it, that we take it at face value. If God said it, that's what it means. That settles it. I believe it. Trusting in what God has promised. Now, sometimes we struggle in that very area. We know what it says. We actually have it highlighted. We have it on our refrigerator. We have it memorized. We have it tattooed on our back, but we forget what it actually means. By the way, I don't have a tattoo on my back. You know what I'm saying? But we forget what it actually means, and we don't have faith in it. We know what it says, and yet we haven't trusted in it. Maybe we're leaning on our own understanding, like those two disciples that were walking down the road to Emmaus. remember when Jesus was speaking to them? They were struggling, telling Jesus all about what happened to Jesus, and he's alive, standing there. And Jesus, you remember what he said to them? Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You're slow of heart. This faith of trusting in the promises of God, you know what? It grows. It grows as we walk with the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. It's stretched. God will stretch our faith in order to teach us to trust in him. And there will be situations that you will be placed into and that I will be placed into that demand that I trust in God, that I have to look at this promise even though everything is contrary to what's happening and I have to believe God's going to do it. I mean, I'm learning to trust in the promises of God. And when you put them to the test, you'll find that God is faithful. I remember reading of a woman who would read through her Bible and she'd write the letter P everywhere there was a promise. And then she would write the letter T next to that P, which means tested and found true. Every time she'd go through the Bible, okay, there's a promise, I'm going to test that one and see if it actually works. And she would mark it in her Bible. Have you done that? All the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. But then there is another kind of faith that Paul refers to here, and that is, listen, the gift of faith. The gift of faith. That is those times in your life when the Lord gives you a special measure of faith for a unique circumstance. Moments when you are able to trust God in the face of overwhelming obstacles, and you become aware with great certainty that God is working, and you know that he's going to do everything according to his will. You're not worried about it. And everybody who sees you say, why aren't you worried about it? You should be worried about it. I know, but I'm not. Why? I don't know. There's just this trust right now. God has given me the gift of faith to believe that he's going to do it. I can't explain it. I just believe that God's going to do it. That's all I can say. And there have been times in our lives, my own family, where we have been called upon by the Lord to take, for us, they were radical steps of faith. And naturally speaking, I would not step in that direction. Naturally speaking, I would not do that based upon the pros, the cons, financial, I would just, in my mind, I would not do that. And yet, God called us to do it. And when it came down to it, he gave us the faith to trust that he would fulfill what he promised. And he did, and he has. God just gives you that measure, that gift of faith. And it isn't the ability to go out and do whatever you want. I'm just walking in faith, brother. I just believe everything. You know, presumption. And there are people like that. They work up their faith. Come on, get your faith on. Get your faith on. You know, get it. Hey, you know, get faith. You know, get faith. You know, and everything is faith, faith, faith. And claim it and say it and slap it and push it down. And, you know, come on. That's not how it works. I can't find that here in the Bible. And people try to work it up, hype yourself into it. Listen, in those moments where you have this gift of faith, it's natural, but at the same time, it's supernatural. Where the Lord just prompts you or he leads you to do something and he gives you the faith to step into it, trusting him completely. I think of the apostles, Peter and John, as they would make their way up to the temple to pray frequently, 3 times a day. And on one particular day, they see a lame man who's there every single day. And on that day, the lame man who'd been lame his whole life reaches out his hand and asks for money. And Peter said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And in that moment, a man who never walked, muscles don't work, ligaments aren't together, bones are rattled. I mean, all of a sudden in that moment, there is this miracle of everything coming together and walking, though never having walked. Well, how could they say, get up and walk? Because God gave them the faith to say it. There was this supernatural, just for, hey, let me give you a hand up, and just raised him right up through the gift of faith that God imparted. I think of different people throughout church history, men like George Mueller, who built an entire orphanage and ministry to young children all on faith. Never asked people for money. If you've never read about George Mueller's life, I encourage you, check it out. Look it up, Google it, and find out about George Mueller. It'll blow your mind. One of the stories that is one of the famous ones that you hear of, and there are so many if you read his journal. One morning, all the children needed food, or they had food rather, and they didn't have milk. And so they're about to have their cereal without milk, and they needed milk, and they said, you know, George, we don't have anything. He said, it's all right, let's pray. And they prayed. And right after they prayed, there was a knock at the door. The milk truck had broken down right in front of the orphanage and said, hey, all this milk's going to go bad. Can you guys use it? I mean, right at the last second, the Lord comes through and provides for his children. God has ways, and he just teaches us to trust him. I don't know where it's going to come from, and I don't know how it's going to come about. I just believe that God's going to do it. Hudson Taylor, another amazing example how he trusted God and how God provided. Men who live by faith, given the gift of faith to do great things. And there are times when God will call us to do great things, things that we would not normally do, but he'll also give us the faith to be able to do it, and we just got to launch out and trust him. I'm not launching out in presumption. I'm launching out in faith. The Lord has made it clear. This is him. I've often likened it to Peter's example. You remember when Peter was in the boat? And as he's in the boat, and there's a storm raging, and Jesus is walking on the water, and for some reason, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. There's a pause there. I don't know how long it was between those verses. But Jesus responded, and he said, it is I. It's me, Pete. And when he heard that it was Jesus, that's when he got out. It wasn't in presumption. Jesus told him, it's me. Come on out here. And that's when he got out and he began walking to Jesus on the water. Of course, he sank. You remember, he took his eyes off Jesus. And people always tend to preach sermons on, you know, don't take your eyes off Jesus. Yeah, but he walked on water too. Let's not forget that part. But sometimes that's what God calls you to do. He gives you the measure of faith to do it. A gift of faith. Finally, for today. To one is given the gift of healings by the same Spirit. I believe that God is still able to heal. I'm not opposed to doctors. I praise God for the medical advancements that are being made as people are being cured from so many life-threatening illnesses. And I'm thankful for that. But I also believe that Jesus is the great physician and he can heal instantly if he desires. He can heal over time if he desires. He has the power to do that. And not just physical infirmities can he heal, emotional infirmities. There are many people today, even in this room, that are so emotionally trodden down, so worked over, either by past experiences, things that have happened, and certain things trigger it and set it off, and it just sends you into a spiral that you oftentimes don't know how to recover. Listen, Jesus can heal that. He can do it. He's near to the brokenhearted, the Bible says. He saves such that are of a contrite spirit. Brokenness and humbleness. Jesus is attracted to that and seeks to minister to that need. But I do believe he can heal physically. Does God heal in every situation? No. If I prayed and asked God to heal and he didn't, does that mean I have a lack of faith? It's all on me? No. God is sovereign. And don't believe anybody that tells you, you know what, bro, I'm sorry. You just don't have enough faith. You know, if you had enough faith, that might work, but you just don't. And so God's not going to, don't believe that. The Apostle Paul definitely had enough faith. And he asked the Lord three times to take away his infirmity. And God said, nope, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. In your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. Paul had sweatbands that he passed around for people who were sick. Why didn't he put one on? God had a different plan. But God can heal. God is sovereign. I trust him. If he chooses not to heal, he has a reason. And the reason may not be revealed to me until I'm there in glory with him. And I'll say, oh, I see, God. That's why you didn't do it. So many examples in the Old Testament of God healing. The Bible says in Exodus 15:26, the Lord says, I am the Lord who heals. I'm the Lord who heals you. Psalm 30, verse 2. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you and you healed me. The Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53:5. I think of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever. And yet he was concerned enough to heal her. I think of the church praying in Acts 4:30. They said, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through your name of your holy servant Jesus. When these men asked for God to heal other people, it wasn't so they said, so people will come to our church, so people will gather around this sideshow. They prayed for people to be healed so that God would be glorified, so the gospel could be preached. That was the reason. The gospel, if some healing took place, if some sign or wonder occurred, it was for the purpose of a catalyst to preach the gospel, to bring people to Christ. Because listen, people can get healed and still go to hell. The ultimate healing a person needs is the healing of the soul, salvation that comes through Christ. But God can heal. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. God exhorts us to pray for those who need to be healed. And there are times that I have prayed for people to be healed, and God has healed them. Other times I've prayed for people to be healed, and they died. And they went home to be with Jesus, and they were healed. But guys, ultimately, if you're a Christian today, we are going to be healed in heaven. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no, all the former things have passed away, all things have become new. One day we're going to be completely healed, completely whole. Sometimes God chooses to do that here. God can heal. We shouldn't doubt him. We should ask. That should be our first response. You know, when I was in the country of India, perhaps I've shared this with you before, but it lends itself to the text today concerning God's power to heal. I was there ministering to a few hundred pastors in the north of India. And in 3 days, I had taught 7 times. It was very taxing mentally because you're preaching and then they're translating and then you're preaching and they're translating, you're preaching. So it's just like, I'm not just rolling. I'm stopping. And you have to be very focused and very intentional with your words. Make sure that everything translates, lest people look at you like. I remember the first time I was in India preaching and everybody was like this. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, did I say something wrong? They're not tracking with me because they're shaking their heads. And in our culture, that means, nope, no, that's wrong. Mm-mm. In their culture, that means amen. Yes, amen. I didn't know that. It's like, whoo, good to know. But I was so depleted when it was all done. Just mentally, physically tapped. And then I got sick. And I mean really sick. Like intestinally, I couldn't move. Like I'm on my back in this room that was painted Pepto-Bismol pink. That's the color. I looked at it for hours. And this fan just going around. I was just like, I want to die. You know, I just said, I don't want to be here. And I was dreading the fact that I had to get on a plane for 14 hours or whatever it was and make my way home. I mean, the thought of food made me want to throw up. I apologize for being so graphic, but that's how it was. It was miserable. And I got this, finally, at this one point, I just said, I got to get out of here. I can't stay here anymore. I got to get out of here. I just got to get to the airport. I don't care. I need to leave. So I got my stuff together and I was just barely making my way out. And I told the director, hey, listen, I need to leave right now. Oh, no, we're going to leave later. I go, no, we're going to leave now. Like, I was getting in the flesh. That's not good after a conference, you know, but I was like, I'm like, you're taking me now. I'm going. That's it. He said, wait. I have a brother that wants to come pray for you. I'm like, I don't need prayer. I need a taxi, bro. Let me get out of here. And I'm sitting there just struggling and just so sick. And I just wanted to, as I said, I was just miserable. And so he brings this guy in. He doesn't speak my language, doesn't speak English. This is praying whatever. His name is Praying Something. That was his nickname, Praying Something. Praying Messiah or something like that. That was just his Indian name. And so he's going to come pray for him. Like, I'm thinking in my mind, let's just get this over with, bro. Make it a quick one, all right? Just fire an arrow. Let's go. You know? And no faith, not trusting God, not expecting anything except a taxi. That's it. That's all I wanted. And then he comes and he puts his hands on my stomach and on my back like this. That was super awkward. First of all, my stomach was killing. Secondly, there's only a few people that touch this area, and I'm one of them. Like, yo, man. Personal space. Anyways, there it was. And he's like, a little shaking a little bit. You know, I'm like, don't shake too much, bro. This ain't gonna be good. And he's praying in his language. And I didn't understand the thing that he was saying, except Jesus. That was the one word that was translatable. Jesus. And Jesus. And I'm like, I'm not even engaged in the prayer, man. I'm shutting my eyes just for, you know, just to be, look spiritual. You know, I'm not even, yes, Lord. I mean, I'm not even there. And when he was done praying, I was instantly healed. Instantly healed. On the spot. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, no faith. Didn't even want to be there. I don't need prayer. I'm a pastor, you know. I have the word. I don't need a gift. You know, I just... And the Lord just did for me what I didn't ask for, and he healed me. And I mean, instantly changed. I was hungry. It just changed instantly. I went from completely sick, can't walk, I can't even get up to, I mean, instant. And I share that with you to say God still heals. He can. He's all powerful. There's nothing too hard for God. And whether it's a head cold, or cancer, or anything in between, we should ask. He encourages us to ask. And we will trust that whatever answer he gives is the right one. Amen? Praise God that he's all powerful. So thankful that he can heal. And so we ask. Friends, I believe that we still need the gifts of the Spirit today. They need to be in operation in the body of Christ. The world needs to see. And so often in America, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit. We have technology. We don't need the gifts of the Spirit. We have this. And that's why I think sometimes we don't see some of the miracles that people are seeing overseas and around the world, because they trust God. This is what they have, and that's it. And they believe it. And they're seeing it. May God bring that to us in our day.
You've been listening to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We've been in the book of 1 Corinthians today, and you can order a CD copy with relative ease. That's available for a cost of just $5 at adailywalk.org or by calling 877-242-0828. You can also listen to our recent programs on our website at adailywalk.org or through our app. The app is available for Android and iPhone users. Also, look for us on Roku and Apple TV by searching for CCSJC. We're super excited to offer you John's entire study of Revelation on a reusable USB flash drive. Listen and learn as John leads you through all 22 chapters of this amazing book. It's available for a limited time for just $20. Here's just a taste.
Folks, listen. When the Antichrist shows up, and I believe he's not going to show up until the church is taken because we would identify him. But when he shows up, he's not going to be wearing all black with glowing red eyes, as some people would like to depict him as. He will be the greatest deceiver that the world has ever known. As much as Jesus was God incarnate, in a very similar way, the Antichrist will be the devil incarnate. Persuasive, charismatic, accepted, and applauded.
Again, that's Pastor John's study of Revelation on a USB flash drive. Order it right now by calling 877-242-0828 or online at adailywalk.org. And please remember us in your prayers, and as the Lord leads, we'd appreciate your financial support. Your partnership is vitally important, and help us provide these teachings to listeners all around the world. We can't do it alone. Again, visit us at adailywalk.org for secure online giving. We know these are difficult times for many of you, and we want to pray for you. Please email Pastor John at adailywalk@gmail.com and let us know how we can pray for you today. Here at Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano, our supreme desire is to know Christ and to be conformed into His image by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to invite you to watch our services live online. You can now watch all of our services on lightsource.com or through our website at calvarysjc.com. Now to lead us in prayer, here again is Pastor John.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the reminder that you are a good God and you give good gifts to your children. And Lord, those gifts that you give us, it's not because we're worthy or we deserve it, but because you're gracious and you love us. Lord, forgive us when we doubt. Lord, help us to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, may all things be done decently and in order for the glory of God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our study of 1 Corinthians resumes next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall.